Welcome, dear listeners, to our scary stories. Every week, we dive deep into the shadows, exploring tales of the inexplicable and the terrifying. Tales that creep beneath your skin, make you glance over your shoulder, and keep you awake at night. So, draw your blankets close, dim the lights, and let the darkness take hold. Today's chilling tale takes us to the silent heart of Glacial Hollow. Are you ready? The town of Glacial Hollow nestled cozily between towering snow-capped mountains, its Victorian homes and winding streets reminiscent of a snow globe scene. Come December, the town would transform into a winter wonderland, teeming with tourists drawn by its famed holiday festivities. The smell of fresh pine, hot cocoa, and roasted chestnuts often wafted through the crisp air, and laughter echoed as children built snowmen and engaged in playful snowball fights. The annual winter festival was just around the corner, and the townspeople were buzzing with excitement. Lena Mitchell, a brunette with piercing blue eyes, wrapped a scarf tightly around her son, Max, outside their quaint two-story house. "Stay close to the front, okay? And wear your mittens," she called out as Max dashed off, sled in hand, ready to conquer the small hill on the outskirts of their property. The air held a sharp bite, forewarning of the impending snow. Over at the town square, Mayor Thomas adjusted the enormous Christmas tree, ensuring every light and ornament was perfectly placed. Beside him, Mrs. Grace, the elderly baker, set up her stall filled with sweet treats, the scent of her cinnamon rolls making stomachs grumble in anticipation. "Expecting a big snowfall this year, Mayor?" she asked, glancing up at the leaden sky. He nodded, adjusting his hat. "Indeed, Grace. A meteorologist said it's going to be one for the books." Little did they know how right that prediction would be. As evening approached, the first snowflakes began to drift lazily from the heavens. At first, they seemed like the usual soft, delicate crystals. But as they landed, it became clear they were different. Each flake was unnaturally large, heavy, and seemed to shimmer with an iridescent hue. They settled thickly on the rooftops, streets, and trees, casting an eerie glow over Glacial Hollow. Inside the Mitchell home, Lena peered out her frosted window, fingers hesitatingly touching the icy pane. The snow outside wasn't the fluffy kind she remembered from her childhood. It had a bizarre consistency, almost grainy, like fine sand. Across the street, her neighbor, Mr. Peterson, an elderly gentleman with a bushy white beard, attempted to brush the snow off his walkway. But to his astonishment, the snow refused to budge. It clung tenaciously, as though glued in place. His exclamation of surprise was loud enough for Lena to hear, even through the double-pane windows. "What in the world?" By nightfall, the town was blanketed in a thick layer of this strange snow. Children who had been excitedly making snow angels earlier now found it difficult to move in its rapidly solidifying grip. Playful shouts became muffled and then silent. Inside the local diner, residents huddled together, exchanging uneasy glances. The jovial atmosphere had turned tense. "Have you ever seen anything like it?" whispered Jenna, the young waitress, to her coworker, Ray. Ray shook his head, worry evident in his eyes. "Never, and I've lived here all my life." Unbeknownst to them, Glacial Hollow was on the cusp of facing a winter that would challenge the very essence of their tight-knit community. A winter where the cold was the least of their worries. As Lena tucked Max into bed, she tried to assuage his fears about the strange snow. "It's just a different kind of winter, sweetheart. Nothing to worry about," she murmured, kissing his forehead. But as she gazed out into the silvery night, a chill that had nothing to do with the temperature ran down her spine. The world outside seemed muted, eerily quiet, as if the snow had absorbed every sound. The silent blizzard had arrived. Dawn broke over Glacial Hollow with a hazy, diffused light, filtering weakly through the dense snowfall that now reached halfway up the windows of many homes. Houses and streets, once distinct and colorful, were now indistinguishable under the weight of the oppressive white blanket. But what was even more unsettling than the sight was the silence. Lena stepped outside, her breath visible in the cold air. She expected the familiar crunch of snow underfoot, but there was nothing. It was as if she were walking on an invisible cushion. Looking around, she noticed the trees, heavy with snow. Their branches didn't sway or rustle. No distant call of winter birds or the morning chatter of squirrels. The world had been muted. Down the street, Mr. Peterson was outside again, his face creased in consternation. He raised his shovel and let it drop onto the snow-covered pathway, expecting the clatter of metal against the ground. Yet, when it hit, not a whisper of sound emanated. Alarmed, he shouted toward his next-door neighbor, Mrs. Harper, who was inspecting the bizarre snow in her yard. Although Lena could see his mouth moving and his face turning red from the effort, no sound reached her ears. Mrs. Harper, equally confused, tried shouting back, waving her hands in exasperation. But her words were swallowed by the eerie void of silence, leaving behind a trail of visible breath in the frigid air. Children, ever curious, tried to make the most of this new world. Groups of them gathered, attempting to play games or communicate, but their laughter, their shouts, and even the sounds of their playful tussles were gone. Frustration painted their faces as they found it increasingly difficult to engage in the simplest interactions. Inside the local diner, Jenna moved about silently, pouring coffee for the early risers. The clink of the cup against the saucer, the gentle gurgle of coffee being poured, all the usual comforting morning sounds were absent. Patrons communicated with gestures and written notes, their eyes wide with a mix of wonder and apprehension. Ray, leaning against the counter, scribbled on a notepad and held it up for Jenna to see. What's happening? Jenna could only shrug in response, her own note reading, "I wish I knew." Over at the town square, Mayor Thomas convened an emergency meeting. Residents, wrapped in scarves and heavy jackets, formed a large circle, their breaths forming a foggy canopy above them. The mayor, standing on a platform, used large placards with written messages to communicate. "Stay calm," read the first sign. He flipped to the next, which read, "We are figuring this out." And finally, "Help each other. Communicate with pen and paper." Lena, clutching Max close, felt a cold unease gripping her heart. This wasn't just another anomaly of nature. It felt personal, as if the snow was deliberately robbing them of their voices, isolating them in their own silent bubbles. As day turned into evening, the muted world of Glacial Hollow grew darker, the oppressive quiet weighing on every heart and mind. Anxiety thrummed in the air, a shared sentiment among the townsfolk. With every muted step and stifled word, the realization grew clearer. The heart of their community, their shared stories, and conversations had been taken from them. For in the absence of sound, the true depth of silence was felt, and it was deafening. Lena felt a pang of worry when she couldn't immediately spot Max playing in the yard with his friends. The snow's unwavering quiet made it impossible to call out to him or to hear the usual giggles and laughter of children at play. She stepped outside, her eyes darting around, trying to spot her son's familiar red winter jacket. Across the street, Mrs. Harper was frantically scribbling something on a piece of paper and showing it to Mr. Peterson, who read it with growing alarm. "Little Tommy's gone. He was just here." Lena's heart raced, connecting the dots. Families all over Glacial Hollow began realizing that their children, who had been playing in the unusually dense snow, were nowhere to be seen. The feeling of unease escalated rapidly. The snow-covered streets, which just days before were sights of joy and anticipation, had turned into foreboding landscapes of silence and now loss. Neighborhoods tried to form search parties. With voiceless communication being their only means, they relied on hastily written notes and elaborate hand gestures. But the silent snow turned their organized attempts into a muddled mess. Simple instructions were misconstrued, groups split up unintentionally, and the thick blanket of snow seemed to swallow up tracks almost as quickly as they were made. At the town square, Mayor Thomas, with help from a few volunteers, attempted to streamline the search efforts. Large maps of the town were spread out on tables, and markers were used to indicate where children were last seen. Volunteers were handed whistles, in the desperate hope that they might pierce the silence. But when they tried, the expected shrill sound was absent, as if the very air refused to carry it. Further adding to the confusion, it wasn't just the children. Adults were disappearing too. Reports emerged of family members who had ventured out to shovel their driveways or fetch firewood, never returning. Front doors were left eerily ajar, cars running with no drivers to be found, and fires burning in homes with no one inside. In the midst of this, a chilling incident occurred. Inside the diner, Jenna, who was pouring a drink for a customer, turned around to pass a note to Ray. But he wasn't there. Confused, she circled the counter and found his apron lying in a heap on the floor. No signs of a struggle, no signs of Ray. Desperation and fear gripped Glacial Hollow. The snow, which had robbed them of their voices, was now taking their loved ones. The heart of the community was crumbling, fragmenting into isolated pockets of terrified individuals. Lena, clutching a photo of Max, wandered the streets, showing it to anyone she came across, hoping someone had seen him. Every muted face she encountered mirrored her own emotions, helplessness, terror, and a growing dread. The once serene and picturesque town of Glacial Hollow was spiraling into chaos. The snow wasn't just a silent oppressor, it was a predator, and the townsfolk were its prey. In the dim light of dusk, the already white landscape took on an even more ethereal hue, shadows blending with the omnipresent snow. Mrs. Harper, while looking through her frost-tinted window for any sign of Tommy, froze in place. Emerging from the dense curtain of snowfall was a figure, tall and lean, moving with an unsettling fluidity. But what truly horrified her wasn't its stature or movement. It was the face, or rather, the lack thereof. The faceless entity seemed to be molded from the very snow that blanketed the town. It lacked eyes, nose, mouth, any discernible features, but somehow, Mrs. Harper felt it sensing the world around it, almost tuning into vibrations. She instinctively backed away from the window, heart pounding, as she saw it bend down to touch the ground. The moment its fingers, elongated and ice-like, made contact, it abruptly changed direction, heading towards a nearby house. Mrs. Harper scribbled a rapid message on paper and showed it to her husband. "We are not alone." All around Glacial Hollow, these faceless beings began emerging. They hunted in a way that seemed methodical, tuning into the faintest of vibrations, chasing down anything that moved. With the town ensnared in silence, even the smallest stir was like a beacon to them. At one house, a cat, unaware of the danger, pounced on a fallen toy. The vibration of its small padded feet was enough. A faceless entity, sensing the disturbance, phased through the snow and snatched the feline in a swift, noiseless motion. The cat's owner, a young girl named Claire, could only watch from her hiding spot, her tears flowing silently. Lena, still on her desperate search for Max, stumbled upon one of these creatures for the first time. Hidden behind a tree, she watched as it hovered near a car, its featureless head tilting as if trying to detect any movement inside. Realizing that someone might be trapped within, Lena picked up a rock and threw it far away. The moment the rock hit the ground, the faceless entity swiftly moved towards the source of the vibration, granting the person inside the car a brief reprieve. The diner, once a hub of activity, became a silent sanctuary. Jenna, Ray's unexplained disappearance still fresh in her mind, kept the lights off and signaled people to stay quiet and motionless when they entered. The inside of the diner was tense, eyes darting, and messages exchanged on paper, all while trying to understand the new predators outside. Mayor Thomas, attempting to keep some semblance of order, converted the town hall into a shelter. People were guided inside, where thick curtains and barricades were erected, minimizing any vibrations that could attract the faceless. Instructions were written on walls: stay calm, stay still, stay silent. But the faceless, with their uncanny ability to sense even the tiniest of disturbances, proved difficult to avoid. As night blanketed Glacial Hollow, the once cozy homes and streets took on an even more sinister feel, with the faceless entities gliding effortlessly, hunting and making the cold, silent snow their domain. In the heart of Glacial Hollow, the world seemed to have inverted its very nature. Daylight hours, once filled with bustling life, now held a quiet dread. When night fell, it was not the usual soft hush of a winter's evening, but an abyss of silence that seemed to suffocate the very essence of the town. Homes that once symbolized warmth and sanctuary now became prison-like, with families piling furniture against doors and windows. Even the act of peering out to gauge the threat was a risk. Children, wide-eyed with fear, clung to their parents, and every floorboard's creak or sudden noise sent waves of anxiety through the air. Misunderstandings sprouted like thorns among the townsfolk. With the inability to audibly communicate, people resorted to frantic hand gestures, but meaning was often lost in translation. At the grocery store, what one person intended as a warning sign, indicating the presence of a faceless entity, was mistakenly interpreted as an all-clear by another, leading to horrifying consequences. At the shelter Mayor Thomas had set up in the town hall, tensions rose. With limited space and the proximity of so many people, maintaining silence and stillness was a challenge. Someone's accidental knock of a kin or a slip of a foot could draw the faceless. And when such incidents occurred, accusatory glares and angry scribbled notes were exchanged, deepening rifts among those who had once been neighbors and friends. Even close relationships weren't immune. Lena, in her search for Max, teamed up with her childhood friend, Caroline. But when Caroline accidentally dropped a flashlight, drawing the attention of a faceless entity, the blame and fear that ensued strained their bond to near breaking. In the silence that followed, their eyes spoke volumes. Trust was rapidly eroding. As days passed, makeshift visual signals were developed, white flags for safety, red for danger. But even these were prone to tragic errors. A wind-blown red flag that appeared white in the blinding snow led a family straight into the path of a group of faceless entities. This environment of panic and mistrust culminated in a heartbreaking event. Mrs. Harper, desperate to find her missing son Tommy, believed she'd seen him inside a neighbor's house. With no way to call out or easily communicate, she mistook the shadows and movements behind frosted windows. In her desperation, she barged into the home, only to find another family hiding in terror. The sudden intrusion and ensuing commotion drew several faceless to the location. The aftermath was devastating. The fabric of the community was tearing apart. Glacial Hollow, once known for its camaraderie and warmth, was spiraling into an icy abyss of chaos and suspicion. Every shadow, every creak, every whisper of wind through silent trees bore the weight of a town unraveling. Every mother knows the ache, the deep-seated worry when a child is out of sight for too long. For Lena, this pain was magnified 100-fold, echoing in the unsettling quiet that had consumed Glacial Hollow. Earlier that day, in a brief moment of carelessness, Max had slipped out, eager to play in the snow as he always did. With the day's events and the growing dread of the faceless entities, Lena's realization of his absence came late, and with it, a sharp, cold fear. She grabbed the flashlight from the kitchen counter, the only tool she had that could penetrate the white void and communicate in the stifling silence. She sent a quick series of flashes towards her neighbor's home, hoping they understood her distress signal. The returning flashes, though supportive, were equally tinged with worry. Navigating the streets, Lena's breath formed misty clouds in the icy air, each exhale seemingly louder than any sound she could remember. The flashlight's beam, a lone streak of light in the heavy snow, became her lifeline. With every step, she flashed it in patterns, hoping against hope that Max would see it and respond. Just when despair threatened to overwhelm her, a flash of color amidst the white caught her attention. A scarf, Max's favorite, with bright blue and green stripes, lay abandoned on the ground. Heart pounding, Lena scooped it up, the fabric cold and damp in her grasp. The discovery was both a beacon of hope and a chilling reminder of the dangers lurking nearby. And sure enough, as she held onto the scarf, her flashlight unintentionally illuminated a figure in the distance, a faceless entity, its smooth, featureless form contrasting starkly against the snowy backdrop. Lena's blood ran cold as she realized the creature had noticed the light and was now slowly drifting towards her. She frantically signaled with the flashlight, short, rapid bursts followed by long streaks, a desperate call for help. In the distance, several other flashlights responded, their beams crisscrossing the snowy terrain. The residents of Glacial Hollow, despite their fears, were rallying to Lena's call. But time was running out. The faceless entity closed in, its eerie form appearing and disappearing in the blizzard's swirl. Lena, clutching Max's scarf, flashed her light directly at the creature, hoping to deter or confuse it. Instead, it only seemed to pique its curiosity more. Suddenly, another flashlight beam intersected hers. Caroline, having seen Lena's distress signals, had come to help. Together, they created a chaotic dance of light, moving and flashing their beams in unison. The faceless entity, disoriented by the array of lights, hesitated, momentarily stalled. Using this brief respite, Lena and Caroline, holding onto each other, retreated. Their synchronized lights continued to flash, warning others and keeping the faceless at bay. As they neared safety, other townsfolk joined them, their combined flashlights creating a protective barrier of light. Back inside, with doors bolted and windows secured, Lena clutched Max's scarf, tears streaming down her face. Her son was still out there, and the silent storm raged on. But amidst the terror, a small ember of hope was kindled. A community, fractured though it might be, still had the will to fight back. The towering steeple of Glacial Hollow's church had always been a beacon, drawing in both the faithful and those simply seeking solace. Now, with the Silent Blizzard having taken so much from them, it became a beacon once more, drawing survivors in from the quiet cold. The church's old wooden structure, with its tall ceilings and intricate window designs, gave a slight advantage over the oppressive silence. Whispers echoed faintly, footsteps had a soft cadence, and the grand bronze bell in the steeple could be heard, albeit mutedly, throughout the building. Lena, having found a temporary reprieve from her search for Max, took a leading role. She proposed a plan, taking inspiration from the church's collection of smaller handbells, each producing a different tone. These could be our voices, she suggested, holding up a bell. Different patterns, different messages. Quickly, the survivors began to practice and refine a code. A single chime for danger, two for all clear, three rapid rings for immediate assistance, and so forth. It was rudimentary, but in a world devoid of sound, it was a shimmering thread of hope. Hours went by as the group practiced their new form of communication. Families found each other, and comfort was taken in their newfound unity. But the peace was shattered when the door creaked open, and Michael, a young man from the town, staggered in, face pale and eyes wide with terror. The group immediately realized he wasn't alone. Behind him, a faceless entity glided silently into the church, drawn by the faint sounds within. Lena, thinking quickly, grabbed a bell and signaled danger with a single chime. Others followed suit, the air quickly filling with the dissonant clang of bells ringing in panic. But rather than being repelled, the faceless entity seemed intrigued by the noise, its blank, featureless head tilting as if trying to understand this new sensory experience. With every step it took, the church's sanctuary seemed to grow colder, the very air thickening with dread. More bells, all together, shouted Caroline, realizing that a cacophony might overwhelm the creature. The group, heartbeats synchronized in fear, began to ring in unison, creating a resonating, harmonious sound that filled the entire church. The faceless entity hesitated, the barrage of sound seemingly causing it distress. It moved erratically, its usually smooth, gliding motions now disrupted and disjointed. Lena took a deep breath and, mustering all her strength, approached the grand bell rope hanging near the altar. With a resolute tug, the great bell overhead began to toll, its deep, sonorous sounds adding to the clamor. The intensity of the combined noises became too much for the faceless creature, and it quickly retreated, gliding out into the silent blizzard once more. The immediate danger had passed, but the church's sanctuary had been breached. The survivors knew they needed a new plan, and fast. The church bells had given them a temporary victory, but the night was long, and the silent storm showed no signs of abating. Lena leaned against a wooden pew, her body heavy with fatigue. But as she closed her eyes, trying to snatch a moment of rest, a soft, muffled voice pierced the veil of silence. Mommy, her eyes snapped open, heart racing. For a moment, she believed she was dreaming, but then she heard it again. Mommy, I'm here. The voice seemed to come from the great wooden doors of the church. Drawn irresistibly, Lena approached cautiously, peering through a small frosted window pane. Beyond the doors, the blizzard raged on, the white flakes whirling like a million lost souls. And amidst the vast expanse of white, she saw a small figure, Max, her son, standing alone, his familiar scarf wrapped around his neck. She gasped, fumbling with the door latch, but a firm hand grabbed her wrist, pulling her back. It was Caroline, her face etched with concern. Lena, no. It's not real. It's the snow. It's playing tricks on us. Lena shook her head in disbelief, her gaze still fixed on the figure outside. But I can see him. He's right there. Others in the church began to murmur, their faces pale and eyes distant. An elderly man whispered of seeing his late wife, young again and smiling, beckoning him from a snowdrift. A teenager spoke of seeing her lost dog, tail wagging, playfully darting in and out of the snow. A blizzard, with its eerie silence, seemed to amplify their longing, their grief, and their despair. The absence of sound was like a blank canvas, and their minds, starved of sensory input, began painting their most potent memories and desires onto it. As the hours passed, the visions grew more intense and frequent. Some survivors, their minds strained to the breaking point, started responding to the hallucinations, engaging in one-sided conversations with phantom figures only they could see. Others, desperate for some semblance of contact, tried to venture out into the blizzard, only to be pulled back by their fellow survivors. Lena, torn between reason and the undeniable vision of her son, was locked in a battle with herself. The thought of Max, cold and alone, was almost too much to bear. The snow whispered promises, playing on her heartstrings with the finesse of a master musician. In the dim candlelight of the church, as the storm outside painted ghostly images of love, loss, and longing, the line between reality and illusion began to blur for the tormented inhabitants of Glacial Hollow. The church's once holy confines became claustrophobic for Lena. Every shadow hinted at Max's silhouette. Every whisper sounded like his voice. A weight of her maternal instincts, the overpowering desire to protect and find her child, became a maddening drumbeat in her mind. She couldn't stand another second within the walls that both protected and imprisoned her. While the others slept or murmured to their own imagined phantoms, Lena made her move. She took one of the church's old brass bells, its surface gleaming faintly in the low light. Clutching it close to her chest, she approached the entrance, the bell's cold metal pressed against the warmth of her skin. She hesitated for a brief moment, the fierce winds outside shaking the doors, as if warning her of the madness she was about to embrace. But there was no turning back. With a determined push, she stepped out into the white abyss. The snow enveloped her immediately. The cold was biting, its icy fingers creeping into her clothes, making her skin tingle. But the physical discomfort was nothing compared to the void of silence she felt. It was an overwhelming, tangible emptiness. Each step Lena took felt like a step further away from reality. The town she once knew was hidden beneath the unyielding snow, landmarks obscured. The world was blank, like a canvas washed in white, waiting for an artist's touch. She rang the bell. A clear, piercing sound cut through the silence, its reverberations a stark contrast to the quiet. Almost immediately, she felt the ground subtly vibrating beneath her feet. The faceless entities were drawn to her. Lena saw them approaching, tall, white figures that blended seamlessly with the snow, their lack of facial features making them all the more terrifying. They moved gracefully, each step deliberate and measured, seeming to float over the snow rather than trudge through it. "Take me to him," Lena shouted, her voice desperate, her breath forming a misty cloud in front of her face. "I'll do anything. Just give me back my son." The faceless entities surrounded her, forming a tight circle. Lena, in a mixture of fear and determination, rang the bell again, harder this time. The sound was almost defiant. To her surprise, one of the entities moved closer, extending a long, slender arm. It touched the bell, its fingers trailing over the brass surface. A moment seemed to stretch for an eternity, the world suspended in that silent, snowy embrace. Then, in a gesture that was eerily human, the entity beckoned Lena to follow. With every ounce of her being focused on finding Max, Lena followed the entity, the snow beneath her feet feeling softer, less real. She barely noticed the cold or the howling winds. Her reality had shrunk to the size of her hope, the beacon that lit her path through the maddening blizzard. But as the hours, or perhaps minutes, time seemed distorted, passed, Lena's hope began to wane. The white wilderness stretched on endlessly, and the line between her internal turmoil and the external chaos began to blur. The world around her felt like a reflection of her fractured mind, each snowflake a fragment of her broken heart. As Lena ventured deeper into the heart of the storm, the line between reality and illusion dissolved entirely, her journey into the unknown mirroring her own descent into a realm of sorrow and madness. The church's once thick walls seemed to quiver as the storms might bore down upon it. The relentless snow, driven by furious gusts, sought to reclaim the town and its people, who huddled together inside the holy sanctuary. Each time the wind howled, the sturdy oak doors threatened to give in. Outside, the faceless entities were mere shadows against the blinding white, slowly closing in. Inside, the survivors clung to each other, their faces gaunt from fear, eyes darting toward the rattling windows and quaking doors. They were a collective of souls united by terror, each heartbeat echoing the same thought, survival. Yet amidst this unified panic, a sound cut through, separate from the storm's fury, the clear, insistent ring of a bell. Its repeated clangs grew louder, erratic, and more frantic with each swing. Lena, eyes wide and glossed over, was at the center of this. Deep in her psychosis, she believed she had found a way to converse with the entities. Her fingers, red and raw, clutched the bell's handle as she swung it with all her might, believing she was unlocking some secret language of the storm. Every ring, to her, was a plea, a command, a bridge to her missing son. The sound resonated with such intensity that it disrupted the encompassing silence, creating a rippling effect through the blizzard. The faceless entities, drawn to the church by the survivors inside, now hesitated. Their smooth, blank heads tilted upwards, trying to make sense of this unfamiliar noise that pierced their silent world. Seizing the unexpected reprieve, the survivors scrambled. Some broke open a rear exit, ushering out the old and young, while others formed a makeshift barricade at the main entrance. They moved quickly, communicating through hand gestures and desperate glances, knowing that time was of the essence. As they fled the church into the storm, Lena remained, still swinging the bell, her silhouette a lonely beacon amidst the swirling snow. In her mind's eye, she saw her son, heard his laughter, felt his small hand slipping into hers. The blizzard and the entities were but background players in her tragic play. When the storm eventually subsided, Glacial Hollow was forever changed. Many homes stood empty, silent testimonials to the lives lost. The snow, once a symbol of the town's pristine beauty, had become a haunting specter of its darkest hour. Those who survived spoke little of that winter. Their eyes, however, betrayed the horror they had witnessed, the scars etched deep within their souls. The townspeople rebuilt, but the past was a ghost that refused to fade. As spring arrived and the snow melted, revealing the town beneath, there remained a void of silence, a lasting tribute to the fragility of the human mind when faced with the unknown. The story of Lena, the mother lost to madness and grief, became a somber legend in Glacial Hollow. On quiet nights, when the wind carried whispers of snow, older residents would swear they heard the distant, mournful ring of a bell, forever searching for a child lost in the silent blizzard. And thus we close the snow-covered pages of Glacial Hollow's darkest winter. Remember, dear listeners, the monsters of our tales might be fictional, but the fears they unearth are very real. Keep the lights on, and until next time, let the mysteries of the unknown haunt your dreams. This has been our Scary Stories. Sleep tight, if you can.